Did you ever wonder why there are in our Bibles four Gospels? I mean, if God is, we believe that God authored the Bible, yes? We believe that God inspired people to write down. The Holy Spirit told them what to write down. We believe we hold the Word of God. But why four Gospels of the life of Jesus? Why not just one really good, thorough Gospel of the life of Jesus, right? That's kind of, it's a logical question and why that is. And in fact, that is actually a question that brings out in Bible skeptics. You know, there's a segment of our world that they don't believe the Bible is God's word, and so they're gonna, you know, and this is kind of one of the arguments that's made is like, you know, you got these four Gospels, and sometimes they don't always tell the exact same story, right? And that's kind of that argument. It's like, well, if there's, you know, these are all supposed to be the same events, why are there subtle differences? Why are there some differences in the way that Matthew presents a story, the way that Mark presents a story, and so forth? And it's a valid question that people can have, right? It's a valid question that somebody could say, well, if they say kind of two different things, then doesn't that sort of lend itself to the Bible being a man-written book rather than a God-written book? And so it kind of has some logic built into that. But here's the thing, and so there are a lot of people that would say, well, see, it's those differences. It's when there's a difference between Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, that's evidence that the Bible isn't really all written by God, but rather written by man. And I would just say to you right from the start of my message here, and believe it or not, this is a message about baptism. I'll get to it in a minute. But that actually, the differences between the four Gospels, those subtle differences are the evidence that it is authentic. You see, because there's something in our human nature. When we all see something, we can all see the same event, but sometimes we remember it differently, do we not? Okay, case in point here. Who can tell me, what was the very first thing that I said to you from this platform? I'm not talking about out in the not parking lot or not as I was walking around, but who can tell me what is the very first thing that I said to you from the platform this morning? Welcome to New Hope. You think? You were here. Weren't you here? How many of you are here? You're here. You heard me. I had a microphone. What did I say? Good morning? What was the first thing? Was it good morning or was it welcome to New Hope? Or was it something else? Or was it the first song? Yeah. So look, you know, the fact is, I mean, there was something that I said, I'll be honest with you, I can't even tell you what I said. But that's not unusual. There's many times I don't have any idea what I said. Sometimes I believe that my mind, just as a defense mechanism, purposely forgets some of the things that I said, because it doesn't want to remember hearing what I've said. But the point is, we as human beings, so part of being human is that sometimes those accounts are going to be a little bit different. And what that means is, you know, I may have said good morning first. I may have said welcome to New Hope first. I mean, I'm sure I said all of those things, but it's for certain that I said something, yes? Yeah. So the fact that we could disagree, and if we had a raise of hands, some of you would probably say, well, I heard you say this first, and others, I heard you say this first. But the truth of the matter is, you know, it doesn't, just because things seem to contradict doesn't mean that they're not true. Now, such is the case then with the Gospels. And in fact, today, we're actually going to take a walk through the Gospel. Such is the case with the baptism of Jesus. The baptism of Jesus is addressed in all four Gospels. But there are some differences in the way that it is addressed. And we're going to walk our way through it today. And what we're going to find is an amazing truth about baptism because of the differences that we read. So just kind of stay with me as we begin this morning. So we're going to walk through this. And by the way, just like last week when we looked at Lord's Supper, we saw that communion, there were actually two tables. Yes, I had a table for two. Jesus wants to have a table for two first. He wants us to have a personal relationship with Him first. Then we have a community or a communal type of communion. And so in the same way, we're going to find that there's more to the story of Jesus' baptism than we ever really thought. So let's begin in the book of Matthew, and we'll just begin in the order that the Bible gives to us. So the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. John the Baptist is baptizing his disciples. He has gone out into the wilderness. The disciples of John the Baptist have followed him out into the wilderness. He is baptizing them, and Jesus begins to come toward him. Let's pick up the reading in verse number 11 of chapter 3. Here we go. So John makes this statement. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with, would you notice the next two things? With what? The Holy Spirit and with fire. Now that's going to be important here in just a few minutes. So John is just simply making the point. He said, look, I'm going to baptize you with water. That's how we baptize. He said, I'm going to baptize you with water. But understand this, there is coming one after me who is much greater than I. He is going to baptize you not with water, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So we have this statement that he makes, and he's explaining, in essence, he's explaining to us, listen, please understand, baptism is a symbolic thing. There are many baptisms. In fact, if you read through Scripture, you'll find there are several kinds of baptisms that are talked about, not just the kind we normally think of where somebody gets down in the water and is baptized, although that is what we will be doing. So he's explaining that. He says it symbolizes several truths. And by the way, just let me just say this, and please don't be offended if you've got a different kind of a background. The word baptism in Scripture means immersion. It means to be immersed in something. Baptism means to be immersed, and particularly in what we read about is immersed in water. So please understand, you know, sprinkling is not baptism. Now, you may have been sprinkled as a baby. You may have had some water dripped on you as a baby, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. You know, every parent should be allowed and without criticism to do what they choose with their families. Yes, with their children. Every parent should have that right. So you do whatever you want to, but please understand, if you were sprinkled as a baby or there was some water dripped on your forehead, that's between you and whoever, but that's not baptism. You with me? That's not baptism anymore. I don't mean to be sacrilegious about your background, but that's not anymore being baptized than being squirted with a squirt gun. Right? And by the way, both of those events take place with an unwilling participant. You ever seen a baby get baptized? They don't like it. They didn't ask for it. They're not really for it. All right? And most of the time, I don't think you're for being squirted with a squirt gun, are you? Yeah. So look, and again, I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just simply saying baptism means something. Are you with me? Baptism means something. And the word literally means immersion. Now, back to our story. So Jesus is coming toward John the Baptist. John the Baptist is baptizing people. And he comes and Jesus says, John, you've got to baptize me. And John's first reaction is, you know, no, I'm not, it's not for me to baptize you. You know, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus explained to him, no, there's a reason why you need to do this. You need to trust me. I want you to baptize me. And so he did. Now, here's the part of the story that I really want to draw your attention to. Verse number 16. So John the Baptist, and by the way, he's called John the Baptist. It really means John the Baptizer. That's what he was known for, was for baptizing his converts. So John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And then we come to verse number 16. And here's what happens. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Now watch verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, please take note of the next two words. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Notice, this is. A voice from heaven is speaking about Jesus in the third person. The voice from heaven, in fact, from what we can read here, it's like God was saying to the people watching, this is my beloved Son. Yes? That's how we read this. This is my beloved Son. Now, that is the account that Matthew gives. In the book of Mark, however, we find a little bit of a different account. Same story of Jesus coming, same conversation between John the Baptist and Jesus. I shouldn't baptize you. And he said, yes, you should. And so he does. Now watch in the book of Mark, chapter number 1 and verse number 11. And notice, then a voice came from heaven saying, now what are the next two words? You are. Or in the King James, thou art. You are. You are my beloved Son. Now, there's a subtle difference, isn't there? Matthew said, there's a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. But when Mark tells the story, it is, you are. like God is speaking to Jesus. And so we have a little bit of a difference here. And this is kind of where some people would say, so see right there, that may not seem like a big difference, but it is a difference. There's totally a difference between those two things. There's a difference between speaking to somebody and speaking about somebody. And so this is where some people would say, you know, this is why I don't always believe the Bible is God's word. Well, so then we, and by the way, neither Mark nor Matthew probably were eyewitnesses. Mark was probably a young boy when Jesus was baptized. This is written several decades later. Mark, we don't believe, was probably wasn't even an adult by this time. They probably were relaying stories from eyewitnesses that were given to them. But let's continue on. So we have these two different accounts. So what are we going to do with this? Well, we go to the book of Luke. Luke kind of tells the same story that Mark does. Look at Luke chapter 3 and verse 22. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Now, is everybody's on board here? We have two different messages coming from heaven, don't we? That's what it seems like. So what's going on here? How do we reconcile this? And, you know, I think we could ask the question, does it matter? Well, yeah, it does matter. It kind of matters. There's one indicates a voice of God speaking to the crowd watching. The other indicates the voice of God speaking to Jesus. Can both of those things be true? Can these be accurate stories in Scripture? Now, this is probably where most everybody in this room, I would assume that most everybody in this room, we are already believers and followers of Jesus. Now, you may not be, but not everybody is. But most everybody in this room, this is kind of where people who have already chosen to follow Jesus and people who have not usually kind of part ways. See, for those of us that we believe the Bible is true, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, this is kind of one of those things where okay, well, let me say this. So people who don't believe that, this is kind of where they get off the train. It's like, well, see, this is the reason I don't read, because I don't know if I can trust this. If it says two different things, how can I trust anything that it says? But for those of us who believe this book is God's Word, when we already believe this, what we rather do is we say, this is kind of one of those things where I'm challenged to try to figure out, how are these true, right? We're not looking for a reason. Look, a skeptic is looking for a reason not to believe. We're trying to look for an answer. This is why we study, yes? This is the kind of thing we study on Wednesday evenings. This is the kind of deeper Bible study that we kind of get into. And so this is kind of where we begin to part ways. But fortunately, we have two more books of the Bible. We have another gospel and the book that comes after that, that actually not only does the next gospel we're about to read help us to put these pieces together and help to clarify this, but they actually give us the most beautiful picture of what baptism actually is through these two differences in Scripture, and that is where we're heading. So the question is, was God speaking to the crowd? Was he speaking to the crowd saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased"? Or was he speaking to Jesus saying, "You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased"? Or both? Or was it more than that? So let's take a look. Let's go to the Gospel now of John. John chapter number 1. And again, this was the whole point. Why do we have four Gospels? Well, because sometimes there's a preponderance of Scripture we have to go through in order to find God's truth. So in John chapter number 1, we pick up the same story, verse number 29. And this will sound familiar to, especially for those who know the story. The next day, John, that's John the Baptist, sees Jesus coming unto him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Verse 30, "This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." So this is kind of the familiar story, yes? But now he's going to say something, "And I knew him not." Does that seem odd to you? He said, "Behold the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. This is the guy I was telling you about, but I didn't know who he was." Wait a minute. Time out, John. Do you know the relationship between John the Baptist and Jesus? We don't talk about it much, but at Christmas time, oftentimes we read about the angel who came to Mary and said, "You're going to have a child, and his name's going to be Jesus," yes? But do you also know that a different angel came to Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, and said, you're going to have a child. In fact, 6 months prior to the angel coming to Mary, we find the angel came to Elizabeth and said, you're going to have a baby. Elizabeth, however, was very, very old. She was well beyond childbearing age. So it was a very, very unusual circumstance. But she said, listen, you're going to have a child. Do you know who her child was? John the Baptist. So watch. So Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins. So John the Baptist, what do you mean you don't know him? He's your cousin. You know, I think we would have a hard time thinking in our minds, well, surely at some point in their childhood, Mary and Elizabeth would have told both of them the story, right? How can he say, I didn't know who he was? Well, keep in mind, when we're reading, picking this story up, Jesus and John the Baptist are both 30 years old. For 30 years, even if they'd been told the story as a child, for 30 years, Jesus never made any moves that we find recorded in Scripture about being the Messiah. You follow me? The story we're reading is his first presenting himself to the world. The first time Jesus is stepping out into the role that we all know him as. And so John the Baptist has been waiting for 30 years and with nothing happening. And so now he's saying, well, I really wasn't sure. I really wasn't sure. You know, I heard these stories maybe as a child, but he wasn't sure what was happening. But here's what we do know. What we do know is that God did speak to him. God spoke to him and said, go out and begin to baptize. And while you're baptizing your converts, I'm going to send the promised one to you. Is everybody with me on the story? You really are a dead crowd today. He said, I want you to go out and I want you to start baptizing. As you're baptizing your converts, I am going to have the one. He will come to you. He will present himself to you. And when you baptize him, you will see the Holy Spirit come down and light upon him. And that is how you will know. In fact, let's take a look in his own words, verse 32. Verse 32. Not in there? All right, so let me give it to you. Who's got a Bible? This is why you bring your Bible, folks, right? So in John chapter number 1 and verse number 32, let me read it for you. And John bare record saying, and I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So what? So here's the point. So when John sees Jesus coming, he realizes that this is the one that God was speaking to him about. So what do we know so far? So was there a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son of whom I'm well pleased, yes or no? In Matthew, yes? Was there also a voice from heaven that said, you are my beloved Son, speaking to Jesus? Yes. And there was also a voice from heaven speaking to John saying, this is the one I was talking about. So what's going on? How can there be one voice? How can there be one message from heaven, but it's heard differently by everybody involved? Is that possible? Is it? Yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. And in fact, we find that in the next book of the Bible. Let me just ask, does anybody know what the next book of the Bible is? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I'm so glad. I thought we were going to have to go and ask Emma back here. By the way, how old is Emma? Just turned five. Knows all the books of the Bible. Can say them right from the beginning, right to the end, all the kids can. Kind of maybe thinks that maybe us adults ought to learn that too. You think? Maybe be able to find that book of the Bible. You know, when we I've often wondered. Once in a while, I want to challenge everybody to say, "Look, we're not going to use the screen today. I want you to get your Bibles out. Find the book of Micah." I wonder how many. Find the book of Obadiah. Obadiah, what? So we find in the very next book of the Bible that God then begins to bring it all together. So we have these different accounts of God speaking, the voice of God speaking from heaven. And we come now to the book of Acts. So how is it possible that God could speak, but Matthew records that he was speaking to the crowd watching, Mark records that he was speaking to Jesus, and John records that he was speaking to John the Baptist? How is all of that possible? Well, we come to Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound of heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now, by the way, before we go any further, do we remember how the Bible, what was it that John said? John said, hey, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who's going to baptize you with what, Tom? Fire and the Holy Spirit. And that seemed like such an odd thing to say at the time. So let's just continue reading. Verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of what? Like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. What was the significance of that? Verse 4. And they were all filled with the... Huh. It's an amazing coincidence, isn't it? No, it's not a coincidence. So what's about to happen here? So the Holy Ghost comes. Fire sits on them like tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now watch what happened. Verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation. What that means is they were Jewish men who lived in all other parts of the world. They had grown up and they had been born somewhere else. They grew up somewhere else. So not only they were Jews, they probably understood Hebrew, but they also understood whatever language was the native language from wherever they were from, right? So, and in fact, the chapter goes on to talk about all the different places. But here we go, verse number 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because they heard every man speak in his... So these disciples, so what's happening here? The Holy Spirit came, this fire came and sat on each of them, and each of them began to speak in another tongue, in another language. That's not an unknown language, by the way. It's not some weird, turkey talk. That's not what he's talking about. It's just simply a language of some other land that they knew, but the others there didn't know. So when these disciples began to speak, because the Holy Spirit had come, this fire had set upon them, they began to speak in a different language, but not an unknown language. It was really not even so much them that spoke. Let's continue on. Look at verse number 8. It explains it all. How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? So watch. The disciples were speaking in whatever language they normally spoke in, but people were hearing it in a different language, weren't they? They were hearing it in... So watch. It wasn't they that were speaking in the first place. It was the Holy Spirit speaking. It would be like I would speak today. I'm speaking up here in English. But some might hear it in Spanish. Some might hear it in French. Dwayne hears it in pig Latin. I mean, Beecher's from West Virginia. He hears it in hillbilly. See, I'm speaking English. But they're hearing whatever their native tongue is. That's what was happening there. You see, and so this is exactly what was happening back when Jesus was being baptized. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came and lighted on him like a dove. The voice from heaven spoke to him and to the crowd watching and to John. Are you with me? You see, all of those things are true. This is not a contradiction in Scripture. It was all true, just like a few weeks later, when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. So Peter, they're all hearing these voices. And you know what they thought? So there's a verse that says, well, all the people around, when they heard all these languages, they said, well, these guys must be drunk. Now, I don't know about you. I've never heard one of the symptoms of being drunk that you can somehow speak another language. But that's what they thought. They said, well, they're just drunk. So Peter got up and he said, no, we're not drunk as you suppose. He went on to preach that amazing message, that Pentecost message that we've all heard about if you've been in church for very long. 3,000 people believed. 3,000 people were baptized, added to the church. And so he preaches this message. And we come then to verse number, and by the way, so how did he close his message? How did he close out this amazing message where he is speaking and he's preaching? Look at verse number 37. Now when they heard this is the crowd, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, what are we supposed to do with this message of the gospel? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be what? Do you see how this story has now come full circle? He said, repent and be baptized. Be baptized. Why? Why be baptized? And he said, and in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, time out. Let me just be very clear about this. The Holy Ghost is not the gift. The Holy Ghost is the giver of the gift. When he says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, he's not saying that the Holy Ghost will come into you and you'll suddenly start speaking in tongues or something like that. No, the Holy Ghost is the giver of gift, and that gift is that he will seal you unto the day of redemption. Are you with me on that? The gift is that the Holy Spirit wants to come and not just speak to you, but through you. Folks, here's the message today. I told you I was going to teach you about baptism. So what is baptism? Baptism from the time of Jesus. It was an opportunity for heaven to speak to you, if you're being baptized, and to the crowd watching you. Are you with me on that? I'll never forget. Sherry, you know, you got baptized. And the very next time we baptized, see, your daddy saw that. Your daddy watched you get baptized. That spoke not just to you that day you got baptized, that spoke to your daddy. Then to John. And the very next time we baptized, that's when we all celebrated John coming out and surprising everybody, saying, hey, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. It's time for me to be baptized. Hallelujah. What an amazing thing. Defining moment of our church. Wonderful thing. I think back to when Cassie and Jennifer got baptized. Keith, I think the same day, we were out at the firehouse, back in the early days, and out at the firehouse. Remember we were out at the firehouse? And we had a baptism service out there. Well, guess who else was there? Roy was there. Her daddy. Jennifer's daddy was there, Roy. And Roy began to, you'd already come maybe a couple of times. No, that was the first time. That was the first service you were there. First service he came was for their baptism. And boy, he just fell in love with me. He thought I was the greatest. I mean, he just said, man, I can't get enough of this guy. Yeah, I'll never forget what he said. He said he thought I was like a game show host. I still resent that. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means. Yeah, Bob. I don't know Bob Barker or you know one of those old. But I don't know what that means. But I don't think it's good. I still resent that. But listen. But he came. He came that day. You know what happened that day? Did the Holy Spirit speak to Jennifer and to Cassie while they were being? Of course. But was the Holy Spirit not also speaking to Roy, their daddy? And those stories go on and on and on, don't they? So we have this story. We have these differences in the Gospels. These Gospels tell us a different story, seemingly contradictory. Was God speaking to Jesus or was he speaking about Jesus to the crowd? Yes. Yes. Baptism is an opportunity for heaven to speak to earth. Baptism is an opportunity for God to speak not just to you, but through you. To the people who are watching. And not just that, but to the people who are helping to baptize. John was the one baptizing him. God had a special message for him. You know the thing I love the most about how we do baptism? First of all, we set aside a day. It is a family day around here, isn't it? We make it a big deal. We don't just, we've had hundreds that have walked the aisles and trusted Christ as Savior. And I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of glad we don't have our own baptistry. Because if we did, we'd be tempted to do what I was trained to do, which is, hey, you've been saved, now it's time for you to get baptized. Don't worry about it. Just do what you're supposed to do. Well, what does it mean? Well, you don't need to worry about that. You just need to follow Jesus in obedience and all that. And come on, we got to hurry up because the people are waiting. They want to go to dinner. So I don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We make it a special day. It's a family day. But I think what I love the most is having people who are important to the people being baptized be a part of that. Yeah. I love to see parents baptize their kids. I love to see husbands and wives help baptize their spouses. I love to see the person who led somebody to Christ. Harold, I loved it when you helped baptize Billy. And that was the old Billy. We needed like four people to get him in and out of there then. Hey, I can say that. Those of you skinny people, you just shut up. I can say it. You can't say it. So, you know, but it was a wonderful, wasn't it, Harold? Wasn't that a wonderful day? And that may have been the same day, I think. Possibly the same day. See, there's something special about that. God was speaking to the people who are a part of the baptism. God is speaking to the one who's being baptized, and God speaks to the crowd who's watching. That's what baptism is. Baptism is a chance for you to let God have a voice in this world. Now, people oftentimes talk about, well, it's commanded. It's the first step of obedience, I think, is what I was trained to say. You know, you're disobedient until you do it. That's just stupid. Look, if your brand of Christianity feels like it's heavy, then we're doing it wrong. It's supposed to be freeing, right? It's supposed to make us feel more free, not more restricted. But see, that's what baptism really is then. Baptism is an opportunity for us, for you, for me, to say, God, I am so thankful for what you have done in me. I am going to take this public opportunity to let you speak to me and use me to speak to others. That's what baptism is. It's oftentimes, obviously, if and again, please, and I really wasn't trying to be unkind earlier when I said if you've been sprinkled or something, you haven't been baptized. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying it's not what the word baptism means. I'm just telling you, that's what the word baptism means. It means to be immersed. If you've never been immersed, then you haven't been baptized. Now, will you still go to heaven if you've trusted Christ as your Savior? Yes. You don't have to be baptized to get into heaven. But it's a wonderful opportunity for God to speak through us. So if you've never been baptized, since you understood what it means, it's a good time to take that opportunity to say, you know what? Man, I'll be honest with you. I remember, you know, the feeling of, well, you just have to get baptized. You just need to do that. That's just what you're supposed to do. Just do it. And, you know, most people can't ever even report, this is why I got baptized. Well, now you know. This is one of the reasons we do this. It's an opportunity to speak. So if you've never had that experience, if you've never had that chance, this is a great opportunity for you to allow God to speak through you. So here's my question. You know, okay, Jesus' baptism was an opportunity for God to speak from heaven. So is yours and mine. So what does God want to say in your life? What does God want to say to you? I know what God wants to say right now. He wants to say, Sherry, turn your phone off when you come to church. Oh, that's not your phone?
No.
Okay. Sherry needs a donut.
No.
You still need a donut, just because, I mean, I'm just telling you. What does God want to say through you? What does God want to say through me? This is one of the reasons that we consider baptism.